Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hey, welcome to Momentum Magnet. We are here every Friday talking about tips and tricks for you to put more momentum in your life and business. Think of it this way. If you added one of these tips every week for the whole year, where could you be in 365 days? Yep, that's right. You would see huge gains in all aspects of your life. Well, today we're here to talk about video content and one of the best platforms to do it, YouTube. Today, I invited expert Trina Little to join us and talk about how she has grown her YouTube strategy business. How one day as an MBA grad turned into becoming an entrepreneur because she, like many of us, didn't feel fulfilled or challenged. She wanted to have more time for her life, for her community, and for her family. And now she helps other influencers grow their brands on YouTube. So today we're going to talk about the best strategies to monetize your video with Trina Little. Hey, Trina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I think this is really important because if you are like me, and I think the majority of our listeners, we have spent a lot of time in the last 365 days consuming video.
Yeah.
And if you're me, you have experience not only diving deep into YouTube holes or really getting friendly with your Netflix queue, but also discovering the startup platforms like Snapchat and TikTok and playing with Reels. But I think the most important thing, question really comes down to, why is YouTube still such an important part of somebody's marketing system? Maybe we can start there.
Yeah. Oh man, I could probably come up with hundreds of ways, but the biggest benefit really of YouTube to this day is it's owned by Google. And if I'm going to create content, because I'm a mom, I have a 4 and a 6 year old, we're doing the virtual kindergarten thing. And so I have a limited amount of time that I can spend creating content. And if I'm going to put my time into creating content, I'm going to make sure I'm getting the most out of it. And so by doing a YouTube video, not only do I potentially have that video showing up on Google, the largest search engine in the world, everybody knows Google, everybody just Googles it. And Google loves video since they own YouTube. And then the second largest search engine in the world is YouTube. And so with just creating one video a week, I'm kind of checking off the check boxes there of hitting the two largest search engines in the world.
Wow. Okay, there's a lot of pieces I want to dive into. But one of the things we talked about before the call started, I think is really important for people who aren't thinking about the social media channels in this way. Can you talk a little bit about the life cycle of a piece of content on the various platforms?
Yeah, I dug into this. I was doing a talk and I wanted to prove a point that YouTube was worth your time. And what I found was some really crazy data that a Facebook post has a lifespan of about 6 hours. An Instagram post has a lifespan on average of about 48 hours. Obviously, stories is gone in 24 hours. But and then a YouTube video has an average lifespan of about 20 days. And not only have I seen my videos last much longer than 20 days, I have clients and students. Just yesterday, I was digging through a student's channel for her from 2016. Videos still driving views, still building her visibility, still getting people aware of who she is from 2016. And that doesn't happen on a Facebook post from 2016.
Yeah, then that's really important to note. So one of the things that has come up a lot with my clients is I work with a combination of large, you know, Fortune 500s, Fortune 2000, really big enterprises that are in, you know, even tens of millions, hundreds of millions, or billion-dollar levels. A lot of times I hear from bigger brands not understanding if YouTube is really just for the homegrown enterprise or the singlepreneur. Can you talk a little bit about the applicability of who YouTube serves?
I mean, honestly, if we go back to that first remark I made about how YouTube shows up in Google in search, if we want our customers to buy from us or to buy that thing we're trying to sell, why aren't we showing up when they need us the most or when they're figuring out what to buy, right? Most people go to Google or go to YouTube. I forget this statistic. I just did it in a talk again, yes, last week. But YouTube has, the data says something like YouTube has surpassed Facebook now as the number one platform for buyer decision. So people are going to YouTube to make their final decision on buying something. And so if we are showing up when people are kind of doing that research for buying or figuring out what they want to buy, why not make sure our video is showing up on Google when they're actually searching?
Yeah, and that's the perfect answer. So if you own a business, if you work in an enterprise in the marketing department, whether that is one person and $2,000 a year or 300,000 people and $15 billion a year, you need to be working in video within your strategy because it becomes part of your SEO. We are using visual search when we get to video.
So and I think more and more as you know, we're in 2021 now, but people are buying from almost other people, right? A brand has to kind of have this personality because that's where the know, like, and trust factor is coming in where we're at right now. And if they don't feel a connection with that, or that sense of loyalty just doesn't happen. I know when I started YouTube, like I said, I was an MBA and I was pregnant for the first time. And I realized I was actually buying the products that I had connected with an influencer, not what was being recommended to me from even family and friends. I had made a connection with somebody on YouTube, just her channel and whatever she was recommending. That's what I was buying. So I think for even large Fortune 500s, it's also important to not only have your own brand visibility so that people can connect with your brand on a more human level, but also having those relationships with the word influencer these days, but having that relationship with influencers on YouTube because they're selling your products. They're making that connection with their audience as well.
Yeah, that is really important. So the biggest barrier, I think, after you've got someone agreeing that YouTube is really going to help their business grow, the next objection that I most often hear is, I don't have time and I hate being on video. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about how do you address these hurdles for participating that we hear so often?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest problem with not being on video is if you aren't on video anymore, it's going to be really hard for you to thrive. Businesses pretty much are expected to be on video nowadays. It just grows that trust factor. You build that relationship. So honestly, if you aren't incorporating some type of video, it doesn't even have to be on YouTube, Facebook Live, live podcasts, Instagram stories, you need to be on video if you want to even compete in the business world these days. And then when it comes to time, I get it. But again, I'm a mom of two small children. I only work 4-ish days a week because just of childcare. And it's all about creating a system. Not only am I doing my own YouTube content and managing it, we've got multiple clients within our agency where we are telling them what to film. We are editing, we are creating thumbnails, we are uploading, optimizing, diving into analytics. And it's all about creating a system that you can easily follow step after step after step. And so I would challenge people to really think about the content they're already creating right now, how much time they are spending on that content, and then how much time they could spend maybe with a YouTube video and then piecemealing that all across other social media platforms. Because if you're not kind of hanging your hat on some type of piece of video content, like I said, it's going to be very hard to compete.
And how often do people need to post to start seeing their channel work for them? Is it really truly once a week is kind of that bare minimum?
Yeah, once a week. Obviously, the more content you put out, the more opportunities that you have for people to find you, the opportunities that you have for one of those videos to go viral. But I'm also a huge proponent of being able to do what you can and not burning out. YouTube actually prefers quality over quantity. So if you're putting out, you know, 5 videos a week and your quality is plummeting because you're trying to get it all out, it's really not going to do you any good. In fact, I just did my channel I use as a case study platform. So I'm trying all different types of things. The algorithm probably totally has a mess on my channel because I want to test things and see if they work before I use them on my clients. And back in January and February, I posted 2 videos a week. I didn't grow any faster those 2 months than I would have with my December and November content when I was just posting 1 a week. And so it really goes down to making sure you're creating quality content that people click on, watch, and then watch more content of yours.
That's perfect. And do you think that it requires really professional setups to be effective? So talk to us a little about how homegrown can an effective video strategy be, and how much is production value versus content strategy?
Yeah, I think one good thing that came out of 2020 is the stress off of us to worry about the perfect setup and having a professional studio. So many people last March and April had to start streaming and rolling from their basements, their home offices, like professional people on, you know, morning shows, late night shows, talk shows had to set up in their house. Some of those late night shows, if you watched any of them, their kids were popping in, and it kind of brought this sense of authenticity and realness. And it allowed us to connect with those people that we normally see like this flashy, perfect studio to see, oh no, they are like me. And I think if you can make that connection with people to make them feel like they know you, your friends, that's going to do much better for you building that trust with potential clients and customers than needing a professional studio. When you are thinking about your setup, you got to remember whatever you're filming is only in this little box that we're talking in right here. You don't know that I have a kindergarten setup over here for my kindergartner with a desk and all of her little letters and things she needs to remember for school. You're just seeing what's right here. And so I think we get so stressed out over needing to have the perfect space, but it's just such a small area that you just need. And another case study that I did is I shot an entire video of mine on my YouTube channel with just my cell phone. And it had one of the best audience retentions out of all my videos. And I just shot it with my cell phone. And so I really think because of 2020, you can really do the homegrown video production nowadays.
And do you do most of your particular videos in your house, or do you go to a studio environment and shoot them in buckets?
I've never gone to a studio at all. I shoot in my house. In fact, in 2016, I think, 2017, I forget what year it is, but there was a year that we were building a house and we were in this super teeny tiny apartment. There was no room to film. I literally just stood in front of a blank, you know, it was kind of like a beige yellow wall. It was super ugly. It was an apartment. We were only going to be there. We were only supposed to be there for a few months. And we were there a little bit longer just because, you know, home building construction issues. And I still grew my channel. I still gained subscribers. I still built my business standing in front of this ugly wall. And that's the only thing that I had to shoot in. And I'm also not a technical person. I hate tech. And so I make everything that I use as simple as possible, because the more technical I get with my equipment, it's just creating hurdles for me to do it. So I have a super easy camera where I just hit record, everything is good to go. I have a microphone set on it already, so it's already mounted. Everything's good to go. All I have to do is turn on a light and record, and it makes it easier for me to do and come up with less excuses on why not to do it.
And do you have a fixed time you do it every week so that it gives you kind of that predictable, oh, Fridays is my content day?
Yeah, there's no way I could do it weekly at all, just because schedules and kids. And so I will batch. I try to do the same Wednesday every month, but it's just impossible. But usually Wednesdays, I will try to batch videos because that's the only day I don't have a kid at home. And so I will plan my content prior to that Wednesday and then try to shoot at least 3 videos. At one point, I was shooting about 10 videos a day, just to be done with content for a while. But I like to have a little bit more fluidity in my content and pick videos more recent in kind of time frames instead of having 10 weeks done at a time. I only like to do about 3 to 4 weeks done at a time, and I batch them every single month pretty much.
And how about time? How much does that matter? Do shorter videos outperform longer videos? And is there really a sweet spot there?
No, I get this question all the time. Obviously, if you're using YouTube to make money through AdSense, kind of the best place you want to be is greater than 10 minutes because you can put some more ad features on it. But what's really important on YouTube is getting people to watch your entire video. There are different tactics and different strategies, again, based on what your goal is for YouTube. If you want to get to that monetization piece when you get started, you have to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time. So then you have to think, how long should my videos be? If people are only watching on average 50% of your videos and you do a 10-minute video, 50% is 5 minutes, but you're like, oh, what if I just do a short video? 2 minutes would be, if you did a 2-minute video, the max time you could get would be 2 minutes. Whereas a 10-minute video, you could get 5 minutes. It'd help you get to that kind of point to get your channel monetized. But honestly, what's most important on YouTube is audience retention. Your content just has to be good. And if you can get people to watch to the end of your video, that's when YouTube will reward you by pushing your content out to more people.
That makes a lot of sense. So when people are thinking about starting with YouTube, do most people have it as a prospecting strategy, or are they looking at it as kind of a passive revenue strategy? Mm-hmm. And do you have any recommendations on what matters, or is that really a personal decision?
I highly recommend having it as basically a lead generator, because AdSense, you don't have control over. Since I've been in YouTube for 5 years, there's been 2 different ad apocalypses where people really relied on YouTube AdSense for their income. And when the ad apocalypse hit both times, people didn't have control over that. So their monthly income sometimes was wiped clear. Like, they didn't even make nearly what they were making. And so I highly recommend having a business model. In fact, 100% of my one-on-one clients are all business owners, and their whole goal for YouTube is kind of twofold. One is to build visibility so that they can, you know, book their speaking engagements. And then the other one is to also generate leads, send people to their Work With Me page or their Evergreen webinar or their lead magnets to grow their list.
That's good. That's good. So you do this every day and you spend a lot of time speaking to people across the country about how to optimize their strategy. What do you think are some of the most common mistakes that people make with YouTube and their content?
The first one I see all the time is not figuring out the title and the thumbnail of your video before you even plan your content. Most of the time I see a lot of people doing that as kind of the last step. Like, they did their video, they're uploading it to YouTube, and now they're like, okay, now I need a title or a thumbnail. That's kind of your first step. You need to come up with a title that pitches some type of value, but also piques some curiosity. And then you need to ensure your content promises on that curiosity and that value that you said in the title. And with the thumbnail, you really need to think, this title and thumbnail are going to be your primary marketing material for this video. And if nobody clicks on it, it doesn't matter if you have the best video equipment and the most professional filming studio. Nobody's going to see that video if your title and your thumbnail doesn't get people to click on it. And so I think so many people worry so much about the equipment and the background, when in reality, nobody's even going to see that if your title and your thumbnail don't even get people to click in the first place. And so that's generally the biggest mistake that I see people do. They think about that afterwards and they don't do the research. And okay, what kind of title should this be? What kind of thumbnail should I create so that when you are filming, you make sure you get that photo or that you need for that thumbnail?
That's great. And what is a trick or a tip that you tell a lot of your clients to better optimize their performance today? What's something somebody can do now to make it better?
I always recommend if you're trying to come up with content and you're not sure what you should create, you just go to YouTube search and you start typing in an idea on YouTube search. And what YouTube is doing that predictive text on are terms and keywords that people are actually searching. And so you want to get started there. You want to start creating content around what people are actually searching. And so that's one of the first pieces that I always tell people. Don't just pick a video that you want to do unless you have data behind it. If you have a blog post that does really well on your blog, right, then you can easily turn that into a video. But if you don't have any content or any data on content, you've got to really focus on creating videos around topics that your viewer is looking for and not necessarily what you want to create.
What is your highest performing video?
I don't know off the top of my head. And also different videos do different things for me. I probably have a video, it could maybe in the 100,000 view range on my channel. Again, I spend most of my time with my clients' channels though, but I have different videos that have different goals. Every single video that I create, before I create it, I'm also thinking about what is the goal of this video? Is it for me to convert these new viewers into YouTube subscribers? Is it for me to convert these viewers over into the webinar I'm hosting? Is it to convert them over to the Work With Me page where I'm talking about the agency? Is it to get them to binge watch my channel? So to watch a playlist that I created specifically for them. And so every single video that I do create, I also have a goal in mind of what I want that viewer to do when they're finished watching my video.
That's great. That's great. And when people are thinking about what makes good content, right? I always tell my clients it's about delivering value. Nobody wants to sit through a 10-minute video and have them not get to the point. Like if you're dangling the carrot of the question you're going to answer, answer it for goodness sakes. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, how much does that entertainment factor play into the mix? Either being funny or emotional or telling a good story. What do you think about that element of the storytelling of video?
Storytelling is really important and something that I continue to work on, but I think it is all about weaving in your personality as you are teaching them something, right? Because they need to achieve something by the end of the video. It ties back with that title. Whatever you're pitching them in that title, you better dang well perform on that by the end of the video. They better be able to do what you promised them in that title. And so some things that I do is like I'll share an example. Maybe I'm talking about how I create a thumbnail, right? And I'm sharing this one time I did it like this and I will tell you this was the results, or one time I tried to A/B test these two different thumbnails. So I'm sharing a little bit about my journey and about my story and kind of my mistakes so that I'm creating that connection as well with the viewer, but also not necessarily chit-chatting. It makes sense to go with the content and it helps bring more value to that content, but I'm sharing more about me so that viewer can make a connection with me and want to keep watching my content and feel like we're talking like friends.
And for you, YouTube has really become your business. And you talk about, you even have a blog post on your site about how you use YouTube to make more than $20,000 every month. Can you talk to people about how you achieve that goal?
Yeah. So like I said, I would challenge you to think right now, anybody listening, how much time are you currently spending creating content every single week? Because there's a lot of content as business owners we need to create, whether it's a blog, newsletter content, LinkedIn posts, Instagram posts, Facebook posts, right? And I create all that content around my one YouTube video. So with my YouTube video, that is my pillar content every single week that must get done. And then I film alternate endings to my YouTube video. So there will be a YouTube specific version. Then I will shoot a Facebook specific version. And it's just the end changes to more of a Facebook call to action, like my page or share with your Facebook followers whatever I decide the call to action is going to be. And I also turn it into an Instagram TV episode as well. And so that call to action will be more of an Instagram call to action, like DM me any questions that you have. Make sure you follow me here on Instagram. Then we also take 15-second clips from it, use it for Instagram stories. We also have been repurposing it into reels. It also becomes a blog post. It also becomes my newsletter content. We usually get about 4 different Instagram posts from that one video. So we're taking the key takeaways of the video and creating carousel posts on Instagram. We're also pulling quotes from it and creating Instagram posts with quotes. And so because of this video, I'm able to be on all of these platforms without creating any more content.
And that's really the key. I mean, so many clients, I've gotten this request a lot to do speaking engagements around the marketing tactics of 2021. You know, they want to know, what about account-based marketing? Or what about TikTok? What about Sales Navigator? And that's usually never the challenge, right? It's making sure that you have a very cohesive strategy mapped to the right consumer that you're able to execute with the least amount of effort possible. So the key to great content is making one thing do multiple different activities for you. I mean, it doesn't make sense to reinvent the meal. It's kind of like being a mom who makes 5 different dinners. Like, you can do that. But why would you want to, right? Really, yeah, too hard.
You're focusing on that one piece, like we said at the beginning of this interview, why not focus it on the piece of content that's going to get you the longest, the most longevity, and also the biggest reach on 2 of the largest search engines, because Facebook posts, Instagram posts, like all of those aren't showing up on Google. So why not focus your efforts on kind of the biggest piece of content that's going to get you the biggest bang for your buck, and then piecemeal it across the other platforms.
So if we wanted to give the audience listening a little bit of a YouTube challenge, so they're listening and they're like, oh, this has been on my to-do list for a very long time, and Trina has inspired me to get started today. Mm-hmm. How long of a commitment do you think, 30, 60, 90 days, how long do you really encourage someone to be consistent to actually see the effort pay off?
I mean, YouTube is a long-term game. I hate when people come to me and want to get on YouTube and they want to see success in 30 days. It's not going to happen. Perfect. It could. It is not going to happen. It's not like TikTok where all of a sudden you go viral. I'm thinking long-term game. My business isn't here for just a few years. This is a long-term game for me. And so there's no specific time that, you know, being on YouTube is going to see success. Some people can hit 100,000 subscribers in a year. Some people it takes 6 years to do. But the goal is making sure your business model is structured around that. And that's what's important. I've had students post one video with under 200 subscribers and make $200 because they talked about a program they were an affiliate to, and they made money talking about that affiliate. I've had students be on for about 6 weeks and book a client just from 6 weeks being on YouTube. So there is nobody's going to be able to tell you how long you need to be on YouTube to see success, because it's a long-term game.
I'm glad you said that, because I think so many channel experts talk to people about quick fixes, right? They give you the 30-day plan for this or the 6-week guide to that. And just like, you're not really going to become an athlete because you run one 5K. It's the same idea in marketing, right? It's the consistency in time. And you've been on this platform for, I believe you said about 5 years, maybe even 6 by now.
And it's 5, 6, yeah.
5, 6, that ish-ish, minus children coming and going and building homes. And you have to have that consistency to build momentum. And that's something we always talk about on this podcast, that the greatest gains you're going to see in your life is when you take repeated steps again and again and again. And YouTube is one of those things. It's very interesting because you're giving me the inspiration where we've recently uploaded a lot of video and I am not creating a lot of new ones. And now that my children are back in school starting this week, I do have a quiet home that I could do that. So thank you for reminding me that that needs to go back on the to-do list.
Yeah. And it's important to realize, you know, You can come out of the gate with a perfect strategy that you think, right? But there is no crystal ball when you get on YouTube. The only way you're going to be able to formulate the best strategy for YouTube is to get content on YouTube and look at what's working. How is your click-through rate? What is your audience retention? Are you losing the majority of your audience in the first 5 seconds, which is really normal for people who are, you know, repurposing Facebook Lives over there, because that's not the type of content that does well on YouTube. And so it's getting content on YouTube first. I always tell my students, you know, get at least 6 to 8 videos on YouTube before I look at your channel and we kind of craft strategy from there, because YouTube is going to tell you what to do to be better on their platform. They want your videos to be seen, because if your videos are being viewed, they're making money putting ads on it. And so all the data that YouTube provides you is to help you do better on YouTube.
That's great. So Trina Little, if people want to work with you, take one of your courses, or hire you to take a look at their channel, how do they do that?
You can go to my website, trinalittle.com. We do offer the agency, which is all inclusive. We basically tell you what to shoot. You shoot it, we edit it, upload it, repurpose it, all that good stuff. I do have 60 minute strategy sessions that I think are booked until at least July timeframe. And then I do have one offering. I do have one program that opens throughout the year called Video Strategy Academy 2.0. We just released the 2.0 version back in February.
Amazing. Well, Trina, thank you so much for speaking with us today. I think everybody can go think about how can you optimize more eyeballs to drive demand for your business and answer consumer questions by having more video in the world. I think it is an important thing for anybody's business, and I'm glad you broke it down in such actionable terms. So thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We are here every week talking about ways for you to make momentum in your life and business. I'm Karen Morales, founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a boutique marketing company for clients who want growth quickly with smart strategies that are replicatable again and again. If you are interested in being a guest, please send us a note at momentummagnet.com. And please remember to give us a like and a review on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you consume your content, because it just helps us reach more people. Thank you so much for joining, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit momentummagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.